I started right out of high school. So I went to college while I was doing this. So all I've ever known. And I'm in love.
Welcome to the Easemakers podcast, presented by Nines, for people who are passionate about the art of private service. Every estate manager has a story, and this is where you get to hear them. On this show, you'll learn from the best in the business, get tips and inspiration to fuel your career, and connect with people who get it. Subscribe now and join the conversation at easemakers.com.
I'm Mohammed Elsmore, and on the show today, Kristen Twyford and I are talking with Brianna Shute about her path from nanny and family assistant to full-time estate manager.
It's a timely conversation because there are so many people out there like Brianna who get thrown into the fire and learn everything on the job. And right now, our team at Nines is planning a brand new workshop for anyone who wants to learn more about household operations. It's called Modern Household Management, How to Streamline Operations for Homes and Estates. And it's designed to help you get a better understanding of household operations, whether you're a nanny who wants to be an estate manager someday, a household manager hoping to learn something new, or someone who's just curious about how to manage a home. Check out the link in the show notes or go to ninesliving.com/workshop to learn more.
Brianna learned her role on the job, and over the past 10 years, she's grown with the same family as their needs changed. She's always been in private service, but she never planned on being an estate manager.
I think I went to school with the initial thought of kind of going into child psychology, worked a lot in that, and then just kind of decided I'm going to have a better impact with my families that I'm working with when I work with one family directly. So that's how it kind of transitioned. And then as the years went by, it just kind of progressed into this natural thing, which I think is for a lot of people, that's kind of how they get into this. No one like wakes up and is like, that's what I'm going to go do. Very rarely.
Exactly. Everybody kind of falls into it.
Yes.
Well, we want to start with a lightning round to help people get to know you. So to start out, what kind of project gets you excited?
Oh, gosh. I think I've done lots of different things. Construction is always fun because there's always a problem. no matter what. Remodels are fun. Kind of real estate is fun. There's all sorts of different things that kind of get thrown in your lap and you never really know what it's going to be.
If you could work for any principal, even a historical figure or a fictional character, who would it be?
Oh gosh, that's super interesting. So I think if it was like another life, I just find the like presidential turnover so interesting because they will turn over like the whole White House in the course of like a day, right? And they like move everyone out, move everyone in, and it's like completely assembled and like ready to go by the end of the night. And I just think that that's such a giant operation that would be so fun to kind of oversee.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you go for inspiration?
Right now, this industry, it's changed a lot since, 10 or 15 years ago. No one was really connected 15 years ago. And so I think, and if they were, it was because they knew them directly in real life, right? So like what you guys are doing is really exciting. I know there's a bunch of other platforms that have kind of popped up. And so I think that is really helpful, especially for people like me that are in maybe other markets that aren't some of the bigger LA or New York, because we do exist in the tinier markets. It's just harder to connect us all.
Who is your favorite fictional private service professional?
I'm going to have to go. I'm sure like everyone says this, but I have to go with like Alfred from Batman. I just feel like that's, he like stuck with the family through all those years. And so I can kind of like relate there.
That's a great one.
Yeah, I think we've only gotten that maybe once or twice at most. What's something that you do to recharge?
Oh, well, I'm an introvert by nature, which is kind of funny because like I think every day I'm talking to people and really on. And so when I go home, I'm like, okay, I need to lock myself in my bedroom. I need to read. I need to take a long shower. Whatever it is to kind of have that alone time after the end of the day is super important for me personally because I am kind of on and connecting with people all day. So at the end of the day, it's kind of a little exhausting, but taking that recharge time is really important, especially in this industry because you're on all the time and you're constantly thinking about what is the next thing that you're going to be working on.
Absolutely. If you're not taking care of yourself, how are you going to take care of your principles?
For sure. And I think that has to be a priority too. I think that's also shifted with COVID because, everybody kind of has a little different mentality than we did before pre-COVID. Right. And so that was, I think probably really good for a lot of private service professionals because a lot of us figured out how to work from home, how to work remotely, how to leverage without actually, you know, physically being there all of the time and still having it function. It kind of forced us to take that break or that step back.
Well, we want to get into the heart of our conversation. So today we're talking about your path from starting out as a nanny and then moving your way up to being an estate manager and how you've grown in your private service career with the same family over the last 10 years. So I want to start really at the very beginning and what drew you to being a nanny in the first place? What got you excited about it?
So I started out in high school, right? Kind of nannying three afternoons a week for a couple of kids in the neighborhood, right? Like most of us will start, if, you know, gives us something to do after school, make a little money. And I just thought it was super fun. I've always kind of related to kids in a positive way and just connected with them pretty easily. Now I have two of my own, so that's a totally different story. It's different when they're your own. It's a lot of work. but I think that is kind of where I started and got out of high school, went to school and was like, okay, I need to work. I need to do something. So I saw an ad for a family with four children and I thought that sounds fun, right? Most people would be like, sounds like chaos, but sounded fun. So started with them, worked for their business a little. It was more of a, oh, can you do that? And it was like, sure, I'll take that on. I can do that. You know, work on the business side, work on the kids side, homeschool the kids, whatever it was. So during that process, they added two more kids. So by the time I left, there was six. So was with them for probably 4 or 5 years, 5 years. I always have worked kind of a lot of hours. And so I worked with them full time and worked for another family at the same time that had two kids. And so kind of did family assistant with them. And so I worked maybe 20 hours with them and maybe 40 hours with the other family. A little weird.
That's amazing being able to balance all of that.
Yeah. So it was super fun because it kept me busy and I got to go to school and kind of do that too. And so the other family, they kind of had more family assistant stuff. So it'd be calendar stuff, stuff with their housekeeper, you know, meal planning, shopping, and birthday parties, right? It kind of expanded to that. Like what else can we throw at her? So did that up until 2013, beginning of 2013. I was like, okay, I'm from Seattle. And so it is cold and rainy in Seattle. And I had grown up there my whole life. So I was like, okay, let's see what else is out there. Right. So I moved to California, which is completely opposite of Seattle in every way possible, which was great. started with this family, had a bunch of kids. And same thing. It was like, this sounds fun. Let's try this. So started with them kind of as nanny family assistant as well. And then over the years, like as the kids got older and as things progressed, it was a totally different job from the day that I walked in until today. Like if you had told me 10 years ago, like, hey, this is what you're going to do, I'd be like, you're crazy. And so then that just kind of progressed over the years, kind of maintaining that relationship and every couple years along the way going like, okay, what's your need? What's my need? Does it still align? And can we make it work? And if the answer is still yes, then I'm still there.
That's awesome.
It's worked out so far.
And really kind of digging into that in that very beginning with this family, what did the role look like back then?
Gosh, it was so much different. I think it was also, I think in the industry, a lot of families don't really know what they need. And so they have a lot of support people around them, or some families will keep their same nanny for 10 or 15 years, right? But maybe that's not what they need in that moment or that day or that time, you know, of their life. And so when I walked in, it was more survival mode, lots of little kids, right? And so just kind of going like, okay, how are we going to make this all work? I don't do so well in unorganized chaos. I'll do really well in organized chaos. That's fine. and so it was kind of out of necessity for myself to just go, how are we going to make this function and work with a lot of different people, a lot of different, you know, not only family members, but also people, you know, working as well.
So unlike 10 years ago when you first started your job, what does your day-to-day look like today?
So today, It's very whatever is needed, right? I have my kind of my standard and my form of I wake up in the morning, I check my emails, I see what fires happened overnight, right? That's like the first thing I do when I look at my phone in the morning is like, okay, what's going on for today? Who needs me? What was the issue between 5 o'clock last night and 6 o'clock in the morning? And so kind of go through that process. I, you know, lots of emails, lots of communicating with vendors, whatever projects are kind of going on at that time, just kind of overseeing that and making sure everything is functioning so that their life can run more smoothly and to free up time for them so that they can have that time to connect with their kids or go on vacation or do the things that they want to do, you know, since their time is limited.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about going from sort of point A 10 years ago to point B today, what were some moments that helped you figure out, okay, this role really needs to change? Can you think of some warning signs or, you know, things that happened?
I think probably 2 years in when communication was not, you know, at the peak, it was like, okay, we need like a person to do this. We need a point person. And once you get that point person in there who can communicate with everybody else and then take that stress off the principal, then that's where things really started to go, okay, now this is functioning, right? And then after that, I think it was like, okay, we really need to compile all our information and make a manual and kind of actually think through this intentionally instead of just kind of being in that survival mode, right? Like this can function a lot better. So let's figure out what that looks like.
And I'm guessing the principals didn't really know how to even begin doing that. So that was put on your plate. How did you go about setting that up and knowing what was needed of you?
I think a lot of people just don't know that that's what they need. You know, I think a lot of people know that there's nannies out there. A lot of people know that there are housekeepers out there, but not a lot of people know that there's a person who can kind of like come in and organize all that for you and be that point person. So once they start to think of it more as a business or a company, right, where you kind of have a little bit of structure or hierarchy, I think things get a lot better, especially when you have a lot of people kind of trying to work together.
Can you explain what changed when you put that foundation down and created structure for the home?
I think it's hard when you're trying to build it from something that has already existed, right? If you're building it from the beginning, it's easier because there's no expectations and you don't have other people kind of in there. And I think it wasn't like a one day we went like, okay, now, you know, this is how it's going to be. It was a slow evolution over time, right? As people kind of exited, as people decided to stay with the family, as we hired new people, we kind of had that in mind when we chose new people to come in and kind of presented it to them as, so it's definitely a transition period, right? Like you have a couple years where it's a little bit funky and everybody's trying to figure out what it's going to look like. But once you get to the other side, and I think as you bring in new people and kind of things go over time, then it really kind of shifts the culture.
A couple of years sounds like a long time for things to be funky. I can imagine that was hard. I mean, what can you tell us about those growing pains?
Yeah, it's growing pains. That's all it is. It's kind of, you know, not having any structure, not having any of that in place, and then shifting to it and going like, whoa, okay, this is how we're doing things, right? But I don't think it's super dramatic either. It wasn't that next day type thing. It was like, okay, we're going to try this. Let's see how this works. Right. And I think that just having a team that is collaborative, that's like, hey, we're all here for the same reason. Like we're here because we love this family, not for our ego or for anything else. It's just because we want, you know, things to really function and be better for them. And when you have that mentality, then I think it all works together.
Mm-hmm. Are you now supervising people who you used to work alongside of? How did that bringing structure to a team that was unstructured, how did that go?
Now our team has evolved a lot over 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. You can imagine people have different goals for their life and different things that they want to go and do. And we're fully supportive of that. And if that means they're still here because that's what they want, that's great. But if that's because, you know, they want to go have kids or they want to do something else, like that is, we're going to support that. So I think just trying to come alongside them and find what they're really good at, what they really want to do. And then just being supportive in that way. It was it, you know, everything's tricky, right? There's always growing pains. Nothing gets better like easily. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, it came out really well. And there was no like, there was no drama, no big blow ups or anything crazy. So everything worked out really well.
That's really good. Can you tell us a little bit about that sort of initial conversation that you had with your principals, kind of saying we need structure? Was that you bringing that to them or how did that go?
Yeah. So I think it was more out of, you know, that survival mode, the necessity, because vendors and things were going to the principal, and that was stressful and hard because they're trying to balance their career and everything else with, you know, the household side of things. And so it was more a conversation of, hey, what do you think about me taking this for you, right? Like, to, instead of not anything negative, just saying, hey, I'd love to help out with this. I see it's a little bit tricky sometimes to balance with meetings or whatever. Can I help you with this? Right. And so I think that is received in such a better way because it's like, oh, yes, thank you. Someone wants to do this for me. And then once that kind of gets taken on and you do a good job with it, like, don't take it if you're not going to do well at it. Right. But when you go, hey, can I do this for you? And you do a really good job, they see, okay, I'm comfortable handing more things off. And then that is something, you know, that's trust that's established over a long period of time. You don't get that when you walk in the door. So I think over many years, that kind of develops and grows, and they trust you more and more, and you show you can do a good job, and you're going to represent them well, and they're more comfortable with it.
Did you find yourself always asking for more responsibility, or did your principals offer to put more stuff on your plate?
I think I'm kind of like that. I'm like, I'm weird. I've just always been, like that. And I get bored easily. So, you know, I kind of get something, got it figured out. And it's like, okay, what's the next thing that we can work on or do or make better? So, I think it was just seeing that need and then figuring out a solution. Right. And so I think that's a big part of private service too, is identifying the need, right? Because you can be a great nanny or housekeeper or whatever it is, but if you don't know what your principal needs, then you're not going to align, right? And you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, and I think a big takeaway is you had to ask for those opportunities, and then you deliver.
For sure, I think you have to have your voice has to be heard, but it is hard in this industry because you also have to have a principal that is willing to kind of go that way with you, right? And so I think knowing who you're working for is the biggest thing, you know. You should have a good intuition to know if that person's going to receive that well, right?
Definitely. Where do you think your biggest learning curve was early on when you started kind of taking on more of the household stuff and really managing the home? What did you have to learn and what were your biggest challenges?
I think the home piece was not too difficult. I mean, it's a learning curve on big construction projects, right? Like, we did a remodel that I had never done that before, right? And so that's kind of like, oh, how am I going to do this? But I think the biggest thing is people, right? The kids are easy. The house is easy. It's other adults and interacting with them and kind of learning how to be supportive of them, give them what they need, and get everything done and still have them like you at the end of the day, right? And have that, know that, hey, we can have this personal connection and we can be friends, but at the end of the day, like, everything's going to get done the way it needs to get done. And if not, we're going to talk about it in a positive way and with, you know, good constructive feedback where it's
yeah,
beneficial, you know, and useful.
Can you think of a moment where you're like, oh man, this is going to be a tough situation with one of your teammates, and then how you got through it?
I don't know. Everyone there is really great. So it kind of lines it up to, we have a really good culture. We have really good people. And so I think that is, you know, something that we've tried to think about as we bring people in on the team. So
yeah,
we haven't had any kind of crazy big blowups or anything crazy, right? Everybody really just wants to help each other out. So it's a good place to be. But I think you have to set that culture too, from the beginning.
Yeah. How do you think you did that? What were the keys to having the right culture?
I think having your goals clearly aligned and roles defined, right? And so everybody kind of knows what they need to be doing, and that's not a question. And then if everybody's working for the betterment of the principal, then things are really going to function and flow properly. And then, you know, just being personable enough, caring about them, talking to them, asking about their family or whatever it is so that they kind of feel valued as well. And then, you know, when we're in a review or whatever it is, saying like, hey, like, what are your goals for the next year? Like, what do you need from me? Like, what can I do for you? And just kind of having that conversation so that, you know, they don't feel kind of lost in the house.
Can you speak a little more about how it is you found the right people? Because obviously
to work for, or to work in the house,
to work for you and the principals.
Yeah. So we have a really good, really good recruiter that I love. And he just does a really good job of bringing us solid people. Like, he's worked with us for so long that I think he now, it's not even a question of like who we want to hire. Like, we definitely have a profile of like, hey, this type of personality we want, you know, this. And I think that's important too, just kind of figuring out who do you want to work for you? Like, what personality is going to work in the house and what is not, right? You know, for us, it's somebody who sees the need, right, and can operate completely independently, but can also work on a team. And that's hard to find sometimes.
Definitely. Any other key personality traits that you look for?
I think, you know, just kindness and humility, like those go a really long way. And just kind of that positive, outgoing vibe is really what works for us.
Because you asked this, I wanted to get back to, you know, the idea of finding the right principal too. For you early on, I mean, 10 years is a long time to be with one family and to be in one, you know, one environment. So what about them struck you early on that made you feel like this is the kind of place that I could stay for a long time? And did you think you had, you know, any chance of staying there for 10 years when you took the job?
So when I moved here, it was a year commitment. And I literally told my husband, I was like, if I hate it, I'm like, I could do something else. It's fine. You know? And so, cause it's a big move, right? You're moving from like a different state and you don't know anyone and all these other things. And transplants don't usually work out very well. Like, to go to a different market where you don't know anyone, like, I'm probably an outlier there. But, I think it was, I got there and I was like, oh, this is so much fun, right? Just kind of something different every day. And like I said, it's those every two year kind of like marks of saying like, hey, are we still on the same page? Like, is what you need also what I need? And can I give you that? And can you give me that? And then we go, okay, let's keep going, right? Mm-hmm. And so just kind of along the way, nothing is going to be perfect. No principal, no employee, no one is going to be perfect. It's literally like a marriage, right? And so you're just deciding like, hey, these are the things that I'm willing to maybe put up with, or these are the quirks that I'm okay with, right? In any job is going to be like that. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of going through that mentality for me, like the continuity for them, and also just kind of having the back knowledge of the things that went on in the family over that time, I think is really important. And so I think that's why I'm still here too, is it's just much easier to kind of, you know what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Can you remember one or two green flags that you had during the interview process?
Well, I came down for the interview actually, over the holidays, and kind of walked in, met with the principals, and just very like down to earth. And so I think that's what struck me, was like, okay, this can be something that could work out.
Yeah, it's nice. We don't usually talk about green flags. It's always red flags.
Yeah.
I want to go back a little bit. When you first started your career, I'm guessing when you went from nanny to asking for more of the household responsibilities, how did you have that very first conversation? Or that kind of extends to my other question, which is, how do you have those conversations with your principals every 2 years, right? If it's working for you, if it's not working for you, what would you like to do moving forward? Some people would have a very difficult time just mustering up the courage to sit their principals down to have any conversation. So how did you do it?
I mean, somebody has to do the job, right? And so it's either going to be me or it's going to be somebody else who they hire, because the job is not existing, right? And so I think those yearly reviews are really important. And just to have that time to connect and go like, hey, how are things going? You know, that's important for us too, right? We're helping everybody else with that in the house, but we need that too. And so kind of taking that time to connect, and like for us, it's email. Email is like so much easier because it can be on their terms, right? And so just saying like, hey, by the way, I'd love to, you know, try to get some time on your calendar. Can you let me know a couple of times that would work for you, right? Or whatever, talking to the EA or whatever, and saying, you know, does this time, can we sit down together? And it's just half an hour or an hour, right? And if they can give you that time to just go, hey, here's the feedback, here's how things are going. And if everything's clicking and all is, you know, connecting together and working, then we just go, okay, well, like, let's keep doing that. But you have to take those reviews. You have to connect like once a year, at least, you know, cause a lot of people too, you might not see them as much as well. So you have to take that time to kind of connect back.
Makes sense.
Thinking about their sort of household structure too and ROI, when they're looking at, okay, we're going to elevate this person to being a house manager, estate manager, we still need someone to kind of take on these nanny responsibilities. I'm sure the budget for household staff has had to grow over the last few years. How do you make the case for that growing staff as the family is growing and as their needs are growing?
I think it's just based on the need, right? I mean, it's just reassessing that need. And so it's not a conscious, we're going to spend X on this person or whatever. It's these people kind of sticking with the family, growing with the family, and changing the role, right? So what we hired for 10 years ago or 5 years ago is not who we'll hire today, because that need is different. You know, so today I might need more of a family assistant, right? Or, you know, a family that's starting out might need more of a, you know, if they have like baby nurses for when the babies are little, and then they have the nanny, right? And then we shift to kind of, then it's family assistant when the kids are in school. And then as the kids grow up, it looks different as well. And so keeping those people, but kind of being conscious about the roles as we kind of bring those people in.
Are there any things that stand out when it comes to knowing why you were so successful and finding the right principal and staying there for so long? Obviously your personality plays into it. So like, what part of your personality, being nice, being respectful, all those obvious things, of course, but how did you build that type of relationship with your principal?
I don't know that it was intentional, right? You never know what you're doing in the beginning. But I think in the beginning it was luck, right? We kind of like matched up and it was like, okay, this could work. And then it's just establishing that trust over time and just really knowing what your principal needs, having the right personality, having a little bit of a thick skin. You're in their home. That's their comfort zone, right? That's like where their guard is down. They're tired. They had a long day. The highs and lows of being somewhere for 10 years, right? You can have like the peak of a career and you can lose family members in that time and all this kind of other things that go on over a decade or longer. And so I think just having that relationship too, but also keeping that line of like, I still am, you know, the employee and they still are the principal, and that line is there, right? And so I can love them and be happy that I'm there and all of those things, but, and same, you know, the other way, because I'm still doing a good job at the end of the day and I'm still bringing in that value, right?
Mm-hmm. And in the last decade, your own life has changed so much. You know, you have your own kids now. How do you balance your time now?
Well, it's a little trickier now with the little ones, but I have kind of built my home life in like a little mini version. Like, we have a really good person that helps me out with the kids, and that like saves my life because I couldn't do my job if I didn't have her. And so I think that's also kind of setting up my life personally to be able to be successful over here so that I can devote the time here. So that things are functioning on both levels. But yeah, time is limited, but it'll be better one day, I think, when they go to college, right? Right. Yeah. Like 16 more years, it's fine.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
If you think about, you know, how your role has changed in the last 10 years and, you know, what you've done to get to where you are now, what helped you kind of learn the skills you needed? What decisions did you make along the way that you think helped you get to a good place today?
Yeah, well, I mean, like when I started, it was, I very much started this position with the same mentality of like, you know, I'll go do something else one day. I just don't know what that is yet. And then so until I know what that is, I'm just going to keep doing this, right? And so that evolution just kind of happened naturally. But yeah, like I said, I don't think anybody comes out and it's like, that's what I'm going to go do when I, that's what I want to do. Right. It's very, you very much fall into it and evolve.
Is there any advice you can give other private service professionals who are more in the entry level role now, who want to grow into a house manager or estate manager?
I mean, there's a lot of, like, I think this need is everywhere. There's a lot of nannies who could grow into roles like this. I think there's a lot of nannies that just don't want to, right? They want to have the kids and they have them until they go to kindergarten and then they start with a new family and that's kind of what they do. And that's totally fine. But I think that there's also a lot of nannies that maybe don't know that it could increase. It could keep going. There's a lot of families, I think, that have kids that go to kindergarten and then they go, well, we still need someone, we still need support, but maybe it's probably not full time. It's probably like 25 or 30 hours a week. And so for those nannies that want to stay with this family, that want it to be 40 hours, you know, I think that's when you have to have that conversation and say, like, here are all the things I could offer you, like during the day. Here are the things I could make easier for you. I can plan the birthday, I can wrap the presents, I can go shopping, I can pick up laundry, whatever it is, but also be willing to do that, right? Which, you know, if a lot of nannies are not. So so if you have that right personality and you think you want to grow with the family, I think that's the most natural transition, is when they go, hey, we probably only need someone 30 hours and keep our housekeeper and keep whatever it is, kind of making the case to be full time, and then just doing a really good job at it and showing that those are not wasted hours, right? This is making their life better, because then it just grows from there.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you say yes to picking up the laundry or, you know, wrapping the birthday presents, it grows into managing major construction projects, right? I mean, it has for you.
I think that's how it goes, right? I mean, it's not overnight and it's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do a good job with it? And can you, you know, be successful with it? And everything that you do successfully, they're going to see that and it's gonna keep going, right? Assuming you're doing a good job.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add? Anything we haven't covered?
No, I mean, this is super fun. Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I think it was great. I love what you guys are doing. So it's really nice to have a connection to other people in the industry and kind of get everyone connected. And I'm in love with
this good life. Thank you to Brianna Shute for being on the show today. To connect with easemakers like Brianna, be sure to join the conversation in the Easemakers community.
And to enroll now in our Household Operations Workshop, visit nineslliving.com/workshop. The Easemakers podcast and the Easemakers community are presented by Nines, the first dynamic household management platform built for discerning households and the private service professionals who support them. Visit nineslliving.com to see how Nines can help you bring your house manual to life so you can live with ease.
I'm Muhammad Elzamore.
And I'm Kristen Twyford.
And we'll see you next time on the Easemakers podcast.